You'll find the words of our reading this morning on page 486 of the Church Bibles, and they will also be on the screen. They come from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 3, and beginning at the first verse. Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hananel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zakur, son of Imri, built next to them. The fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hassanah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Meremoth, son of Uriah, the son of Hakoz, repaired the next section. Next to him, Meshullam, son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel, made repairs. And next to him, Zadok, son of Bana, also made repairs. The next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. The Jeshanah gate was repaired by Jaada, son of Paseah, and Meshullam, son of Besadiah. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place. Next to them, repairs were made by men from Gibeon and Mizpah, Melatiah of Gibeon, and Jadon of Meronoth, places under the authority of the governor of Trans-Euphrates. Uzziel, son of Harhiah, one of the goldsmiths, repaired the next section, and Hananiah, one of the perfume makers, made repairs next to that. They restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Raphiah, son of Hur, ruler of a half district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section. Adjoining this, Jediah, son of Horamath, made repairs opposite his house. And Hattush, son of Hashabneah, made repairs next to him. Malkijah, son of Harim, and Hashub, son of Pahath Moab, repaired another section, and the Tower of the Ovens. Shalom, son of Halohesh, ruler of a half district of Jerusalem, repaired the next section with the help of his daughters. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, it's a joy from time to time to have Sunday set aside to think about and to pray for and to hear from the various ministries that have grown out of the church. And one of those ministries is Kick London, and Joe heads up Kick London, so I'm going to pray for him as he comes to share God's word for us. Heavenly Father, on this Pentecost Sunday, we pray that you pour out your Holy Spirit on Joe, that as he speaks, we might hear from you and receive your word to our hearts. We pray that you would help and equip him by your Spirit for the work that you've called him to do. We thank you for Kick London. We thank you for its work, its ministry. We pray for fruitfulness in that work and for wisdom as Joe leads that work and ministry. So be with us and be with Joe now for your glory and praise. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. God, this is real panorama, isn't it? To sort of see across here. I'll try my best. But yeah, thrilled to be here. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Joe. I'm married to Laura, who works for Riverbank. We have three sons, Theo, who's 8, Seth, who's 6, and little Joshua, our little cheeky monkey, who's 3. So yeah, we're absolutely thrilled to be parents. I was born and bred in Richmond, so I love this local community. I go to Christian Fellowship in Richmond, just down the road at Halford House. And as I say, thrilled to work just through there at Kick London, Monday to Friday, and to be a part of this church. Thank you so much for having me. So, today, if we go through next couple, if that's all right, put it one after that. Perfect. So, I got an email from Keith maybe 6 months ago saying, Joe, could you speak in the team meeting on a Wednesday morning here on Nehemiah 3? So I thought, oh, I'd love to, Keith, no worries. And so I said yes, and then I read the passage, and as you've just heard, it's a bit of a challenging passage, right? So I got my own back on Keith. I didn't realise he was doing the reading, but no, it's genuinely one of my now favourite passages in the Bible. Although when I first read it, I thought, goodness me, this is really challenging. It's genuinely one of my favourite passages in the Bible. And the reason why is that God gave Nehemiah a work to do, and that work involved everyone. It involved everyone. This is a great picture of that Sarah Jackson shared recently with me of what the walls in Jerusalem would have looked like. They were kind of thin. It's almost like a kind of T shape, isn't it? As you can kind of guess, where the walls were all broken, it was actually next door to where people lived, their own houses. So, you know, when it says so-and-so worked with so-and-so to repair their section of the wall, it's because they live there, and their house is going to get invaded and broken into, unless they did. It involved everyone. It involved men and women. It involved daughters, as we read in right at the end of verse 12. It involved perfumers. Now, these guys were not builders. They were not stonemasons. They were perfumers, you know. But they put aside their day job to do something different that God had asked them to do. And that was really significant. And do you know how quickly they rebuilt that wall? 52 days. Inside 2 months, people that weren't wall builders built that wall in under 2 months. And again, that was very important. It was a part of God's plan. And that part of that wall is still in existence today. You can go to Jerusalem and see part of the wall that they rebuilt. So again, significant. They had to have swords and shovels during that time. It was a challenging period for the people that lived there. But they were all involved together. Okay, so as we come on to the next one, I'm just going to be sharing with you a little bit about Kick London's journey and a little bit about our problem. If you like, Nehemiah's problem was the walls were broken. Nehemiah's solution was to pray. God gave him a strategy and to involve everyone. And the progress he made, he built the wall in 52 days. Yeah, but he kept praying. So that was Nehemiah's journey. I'll show a little bit about our story aligned to these kind of 4 points today. So, first up, what's our problem? So, we'll go one more. These are some of the problems that we face as a society and as people that live in London, that our young people are challenged by. There is an epidemic of mental health conditions. One in three young people identify with a mental health condition. 95% of young people do not go to church. You know, your 4.5% of children, according to Scripture Union, now attend church on a Sunday. I wonder if those two things are linked. I was absolutely devastated to see this one about 3 to 5, 16, 24-year-olds. Disillusioned. And a quarter of those guys feel hopeless. There's a lot of problems going on. And we've got to resolve some of these. So this is part of the reason why Kick London exists. Now, how many people have been coming to this church for 15 years? Okay, yeah, that's a few of you, right? For the others, do you know why you meet at 10 o'clock and not 10:30? You might not know this. But the reason is Kick London. I'm so sorry. So Trevor Patterson apparently came into church one day and said, guys, we've got to come into church 30 minutes earlier for the sake of our young people. And so you guys moved your whole service from 10:30, I'm so sorry about this, from 10:30 to 10 in order to do Sunday morning, Sunday school, and 11:30 for the kids to go and enjoy what we call a kick academy, which I'll talk about in just a little bit, from 11:30 till 1. And that's why you guys meet at 10 o'clock. Kick London was founded, I think you're one of our founding trustees, aren't you? And Penny was one of our founding trustees. Thank you to everyone that's been involved along the journey. But in the last 16 years since Kick London was founded, the whole approach has been to, if we come to that next slide, this solution, this one after that, has been to try and transform young people's lives with God's love through sport and support. And so that's why we exist. We exist as an approach to try and invite kids back to church and see them have be able to make an informed decision about God, be that in the street dance studio or on a football pitch. So our vision, and we wrote this vision 5 years ago, was to try and place a Kick London coach into every community in London that would like one. So when I sat there writing this, we were in 6 London boroughs. So I thought, oh, it's really ambitious, it's a bit crazy, but vision, you know, it's about something to see in the future. I thought, let's go with this, let's pray into it, and let's, you know, be hopeful and prayerful. Well, in that time, we've gone from being in 6 London boroughs to 28, and there are only 33, right? So it's been thrilling to see us expand right across London, and by God's grace, he's started to bring that vision to reality. So we come to the next slide. This is Kick London in a slide. This is predominantly what we do. We go into schools and we teach PE. So people often say Kick London is just about football. Kick London is not just about football. We now do 20 different sports. Anything from football, cricket, tennis, rugby, hockey, gymnastics, athletics, basketball, volleyball, Paralympic division. There's so many, boxing, there's so many different things we do. So 20 different sports. We also do 12 different dance disciplines, from locking, popping, breaking, street dance, musical theatre, cheerleading, hip-hop, etc. And then we also now do solutions-focused mentoring. So we mentor 500 children a week across London, every week. And by God's grace, we've now launched chaplaincy. So we're thrilled to be able to offer that locally here at Christ and Holy Trinity Richmond, which Tom Rutter delivers directly, which is just wonderful. So we go into these schools and we deliver these 4 things. And then we take young people on a journey to what we call a Kick Academy, which is where we train local people in their local church to engage the local young people and start to declare Jesus and the gospel through sport or street dance. And then after that, our ambition is that they come to church. They come here or to other churches and get discipleship, get Sunday morning, Sunday school, etc. Yeah? So that's the journey. If you like, kids have stopped coming to church directly as often as they used to. So we've got to go out to them. We've got to go into the school and invite them back to church. And we use the academy as a stepping stone. Yeah? Okay, next one. So this is what a Kick Academy looks like. Some coaching linked to an inspirational thought from the Bible, linked to matches, or if it's a street dance one, routines. And it's just a brilliant way of doing church on the pitch with perhaps unchurched young people or people that were nervous to come to church, or even people that are facing a choice. Do I do sport or do I do church? Do you know you're 7 times more likely as a young person to be playing sport on a Sunday than coming to church? I think that's really sad. Why can't we offer them sport and church together, right? And that's what you guys faithfully did for a long period of time. And what I'd just love to see happen again at some point. Have one of these Kick Academies here or in another church in Richmond. We'd ask you to pray for that. So the next one. Billy Graham had this thing called 4D evangelism, right? To demonstrate God's love in the school is how we approach this. So that's where we demonstrate God's love at Marshgate or Holy Trinity or, I don't know, at St. Mary's and St. Peter's in Teddington. Where in our schools we demonstrate God's love. Then we look to start to declare the gospel in the Kick Academies and bring young people to a point of decision about who God is for them at our annual tournament. And then what we look to do is see young people discipled in local churches is happening right now in your Sunday school. That's our ambition and vision. Next one. So, those are the first two things. We've looked at our problem, our solution, our sort of approach to try and resolve it. Well, what's our progress? Well, there's been loads of exciting stuff happening. We've gone from 17 schools to 70 in the last 4.5 years by God's grace. So we are now, as was shared earlier, we're now in 13 schools in Richmond Borough, but we're in 70 across 28 different boroughs. Our staff team have grown from 7 to 51 in that period of time, which has just been unbelievable, beyond my wildest dreams. It has been thrilling to be a passenger on the road as God has done this. And, as I mentioned earlier, our mentors, working with some really challenging kids. We work with 500 of those challenging kids a week across our 70 schools. So that's been thrilling. Next one. So we now engage, by God's grace, 10,000 young people a week. 10,138. Let's not forget those guys, right? And so again, it's been absolutely amazing to see our work quadruple in size in the last 4.5 years by praying and God enabling this to happen. But we want more. 10,000 sounds a lot, right? But it's 1% of the population of London's young people. 15 to 19-year-olds, yeah? It's only 1%. We've got 99 to go, right? We've got a lot to do, a lot to do. Next up. So, hopefully, I've got... How much time have I got left, sorry? Can you just tell me, don't we? Oh, ages, okay, fine, good. Okay, good. So I was going to say, either I'll do... Pick a picture, tell me a story, and I'll only do two, and then I'll leave you to come tonight and hear two more. But if we can, we'll try and wrestle through these four pictures now, right? So pick a picture, I'll tell you a story. Cricket, yeah. Oh, Lucas, my friend Lucas. So we started mentoring this young person called Lucas, and Lucas had started getting involved, sadly. His mum and dad had got divorced, and he'd been really angry about that, and he'd started getting involved in a sort of drug habit. And then he'd started getting involved with some difficult characters and started dealing some of those drugs to make the money back that he was paying for the drug habit at secondary school. And so Lucas was referred to us for mentoring. We started working with Lucas. And what happened was, I don't know if you know this, what's the most dangerous time for a young person in the week? Any ideas? After school, yeah. 3 till 6. Super dangerous time for a young person. It's often where maybe parents are at work and so the kids are at home or they're, you know, in that transition between going home and coming to after school. So again, 3 till 6, very dangerous time for a young person. And so what we said was, Lucas, why don't you do something different in your after school period? We're running an after school club in cricket after today's mentoring sessions. Why don't you come? I hate cricket. I'm never coming to cricket. Cricket is for losers. Come on, Lucas. Come to cricket. Come check it out. I'm not coming. We badgered him. Eventually he said, I'm coming, but it's not because of cricket. I'm coming because of you. To the mentor. He said, I'm coming because of you. So he started coming to cricket. Now, Lucas now opens the bowling and the batting for his school. He's the most naturally talented cricketer you'd ever imagine. And Lucas has stopped... As a result of that and the mentoring, Lucas has stopped dealing drugs. He's stopped hanging out with his gang. He now plays sport 3 times a week in that dangerous after-school kind of period. And we've been thrilled about that. Lucas still struggles with a drug habit, but we're continuing to work with Lucas and praying for him. And the relationship he's built with the mentor has been very, very significant for him. So we've been grateful for that. So yeah, Lucas, cricket, love that. Pick a picture, I'll tell you a story. Present, fantastic. So, because of this church, the PCC enabled us to have a grant. I'm not from the Church of England, I'm so sorry. I have to get my head around it all. But the PCC enabled us to have a grant to run 2 kit camps this last year, which was fantastic of them. And through that, we were able to offer some free places to young people to have a kit camp at the local school. And Michelle, who worked closely with Riverbank, came to me and she shared with me an amazing story of a parent who the Riverbank team work with. And she said, Joe, I really want to share this with you. On the Kit Camp, you may not know this, but a family that we were able to link up to come on one of these free places at the Kit Camp where we did some sport and some street dance. The mum came to us and said, would you mind if I told my children that this was their birthday present because we can't afford birthday presents for them? Would you mind if we said this is a birthday present for the kids? And that really made us, you know, really, really moved us. You know, they couldn't afford presents that year. I said, can I use this as the present for the children as their free place? And we said, of course, you know. But again, that was really moving. And we were able to do that just in the local community for kids that can't afford Chelsea and all these expensive places. They were able to engage with us. And it was delivered by Missional Christians, which was brilliant. Okay, pick a picture, I'll tell you a story. Yes. So, this is a moving story. So, we were working with, on the borders of Richmond Borough, not in Richmond Borough, I won't say which school it is, but a secondary school. And they said to us, oh, could you start, you're doing so well with some of our boys, could you start working with some of our girls? So we said, that's fine. So we started working one-to-one with some of the girls. And there was a girl who'd been self-harming, and so we started working with her and trying to support her. And then what happened was they came to us and said, she's really struggling, please continue to work with it. So we'd meet with her each week, and we built trust with this girl, and no one had been able to get through to her. She was just impervious. She wouldn't share what was really going on. But after working close with her, we had breakthrough, and she really shared what was going on. And then about 6 weeks ago, she confided in our mentor that she was planning to commit suicide that evening, and that she'd called a hotline or something and told them that she was planning to commit suicide the next day. But she knew that, she said, no one's going to come because no one cares about me. And so we said, look, we care about you and we really don't want you to do this. And she said, well, look, it doesn't matter. I've planned it all out. This is my decision, and no one cares about me, so no one will bother. Anyway, she went home that day, and we obviously, as we do with all of our mentees, had, you know, we'd said, if it's a risk to your life, we'll inform the school. We informed the school, and social services came to that learner, and they stopped her from taking her own life. And she came back to school the next week. She said, I can't believe this. No, this was not the way it was supposed to work out. I was supposed to take my life because no one cared about me. But you told people, and that stopped me from taking my own life. And again, you know, it was just so moving for us that she realised that people cared enough to do that. So, yeah, please pray for her. She's still struggling with what she's going through, but that was, yeah, moving for us. Okay, final one is the one at the top. We were working with this guy and at a local primary school, I won't say which one, and we started mentoring him. He was having a difficult time at home, but he was so supported that his social challenges started turning around, and we were teaching him PE as well. And then what happened was he went on to a secondary school, and we thought, oh, we'll probably lose touch with him. But what was brilliant about it was our very own Tom Rutter was the chaplain at his local school now at Christ's. So Tom gets to continue to work with this guy. Now, at Christ, what's really exciting about that, the chaplaincy work, is that Tom was able to put on an Alpha for Schools program. And this kid, who we worked with at a local primary school, who progressed onto this secondary school, and had also had contact with his family through Riverbank, which is amazing, has been attending this Alpha course, and he's enjoyed it so much. He says it is the best start to his week he could ever have on a Monday morning to do Alpha. And we've just been so encouraged to see almost all of our areas of work, sport, bit of mentoring, our partnerships with Riverbank and others, and then chaplaincy, all come together to support this young person. And he said that he's lost friends. He's lost friends by encouraging them to come to Alpha. But he still wants to be there and still come. So again, please continue to pray for him. I won't show any names, but please pray for him. Yeah? So, there's the four pictures. Right, so with my final 5 minutes, we'll go on to the next one. I just want to ask us to pray. So, first one. There are these three areas. Please pray for more opportunities. Thank God for the opportunities that we've had, but continue to pray for more opportunities. And also to pray for our workers. What's been amazing, we've been growing so quickly, but there's that great verse, isn't there? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So pray for the workers. I always misunderstood that. When I try and remember that, I think it was about the harvest is plentiful, but it's really challenging, and people don't want to come to church. That's not what it is. It's that the workers are few. The workers are few. So let's really pray for more workers to go out into the harvest field and reap harvests. So pray for our staff as they go into schools and as we try and recruit more, and pray for volunteers. Pray for this church for volunteers too. Okay, next one. And this picture was given to us. I went to speak with some guys from YWAM, and they were praying for us. They had this picture of a strawberry tree. Now, a strawberry tree has interconnected roots all under the ground, but it sprouts up, and it looks like completely different things all over the place. And what I really wanted to encourage you guys with this as well is that with Nehemiah, he would ask different families to repair the wall, right? And when they'd be repairing their wall, it would look like completely different things, probably. That the damage was probably all different in the different parts of the wall. But the root was all the same underneath. The vision was exactly the same. The calling from God to do that piece of work was identical underground. And so again, for us, please be praying for us that we would keep our Christian ethos, our Christian missional presence, exactly the same, even though we're doing a bit of street dance over here, or mentoring over here, or chaplains over here, or we're in different boroughs with different staff members. Pray that although it might look different on the surface, that underneath that kind of core is exactly the same and bears fruit. Good. Yeah, so this is what we want to see more of, more Kick Academies, more schools, and engaging more young people and inviting them to church. Yeah, next one. So, finally, let's remember this passage in Nehemiah, the one that's really difficult to remember all their names and pronounce them, as Keith did so brilliantly. What is it you can do? Which bit of the wall are you to rebuild? These are all different kinds of ways that you can help. If you're a perfumer, you can still be used in building God's kingdom. If you are a daughter or a son or an old man or an old man or a stonemaker, whatever it is you do, you can be involved in building God's kingdom. And if God calls you, or if you feel a leading in your heart to help in any shape or form with Kick London, please do. And these are all kinds of different ways you can help. And if you are a teacher, an introduction to a new school would be amazing. If you are a volunteer or would have some time to volunteer, please volunteer in one of our Kick Academies. But please pray for us. Most of all, please pray for us. Yeah, I think that's everything. Dan, did you just want to say something at the end? But as I say, thank you so much for having Kick London, for founding Kick London as a church, and for continuing to put up with us. We are really grateful, and we really want to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's been phenomenal, the growth that he's brought here. And please pray for those 10,000 children and young people we engage each week. We'd be really grateful. Thank you.